Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are very pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Tennessee Titans legend, former running back Eddie George. Eddie, thanks for taking time to join us this morning. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. A pleasure.
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. Hope you are as well. And we got a lot to get to with you today regarding a great partnership between you and FanDuel Sportsbook, and we'll get to that coming up. But first, I want to start with the Titans. Titans now at 5-2 on the season, Eddie. How do you view this team and where they sit right now, seven games into the season?
Well, they're sitting pretty. You know, right now they have built a five-game cushion, you know, in the beginning. Kind of the tail spin right now. The peer to me last week was Pittsburgh beating them twice. They went into Cincinnati, a team that was capable. Their record certainly doesn't indicate how good they are. Cincinnati lost all five of their games by 10 points or less. So that tells me that they're on the cusp of being a really good football team, you know, with Joe Burrow, and he's going to be one hell of a quarterback. So they went in there really, I thought, kind of flat. Didn't play really well. And I think they got to, you know, figure out some things defensively, which they have already. John Robinson and Mike Vrabel shook up the roster to get the right guys in on defense. And hopefully they can shake it up to the point where you get more production, get off on third downs, and find ways to get the ball back into Tannehill's hands. And so he can push forward and try to get some more wins.
Yeah, Eddie, what do you think about that? I mean, we're talking about some major moves. I guess maybe not surprising, you know, that Vic Beasley or Jonathan Joseph would be cut, but still, you know, Vic Beasley was a big sign in the offseason. They've moved on from him. They go get Desmond King. What do you think that'll mean on the field, and what do you think it means in the locker room right now to see all this activity, you know, after that tough loss?
Well, let's be clear. The NFL is business. And when you're not producing or providing production, you want to be a liability. And I felt like Vic Beasley coming in was really never fully vested in the program. Came in, signed with the Titans, didn't show up to workouts, came in late, dealt with some issues with his knee. And when it was time for him to perform, produced zero sacks. And there's nothing against him personally. It's just that, hey, you know, we brought him in, they made an investment in him to come in and do a job and wasn't getting it done. So, you know, you've got to move forward with that. You got to get guys that are going to buy into your culture, that are hungry, that are going to go out and produce the best that they can do in terms of getting the sacks and creating disruption. And that's what I think, you know, whether the guys that they bring in can provide that, we don't know as of yet, but at least he's recognizing it and say, hey, before we get any further down the tracks with where we're trying to go here, there's been seven games that we haven't seen anything, so they got to shake it up right now before he gets off the rails, he gets out of control, because it's now a glaring issue. After the first seven games, it's been pretty consistent that they haven't been getting the pass rush, they haven't been winning on third downs, they haven't gotten anything out of their front four in terms of disrupting the quarterback.
Titans legend Eddie George on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Eddie, obviously you're a guy that was the heart and soul of the locker room in your time with the Titans. You brought up Vic Beasley and maybe not being quite fully invested with this group. As a player, how quickly can you tell if a guy is fully bought in or not once they arrive with your team?
First day tells me everything. If you're before time, you're working out, you're engaged, you're mentoring to the young guys. All those little things tell big stories. And when you're not there, when you have no intention on staying later and watching film or engaging with guys or really building the chemistry, it tells a lot. Now, I'm not in the locker room in this particular situation, so I don't know in terms of that with Vic Beasley. But I know, and when I played in college, when I played in the NFL for so many years, I very off the rip if somebody's there to win games or if they're there just to collect a paycheck and just live the lifestyle. And you can see that immediately.
Now, one guy who I think has kind of grown into a stronger role in that locker room, Eddie, is Derrick Henry, a guy who, you know, bided his time and was – backing up DeMarco Murray early, maybe a quiet guy by nature, but more and more a voice in that locker room. What have you seen from him in that way? I know that you've mentored him some and, of course, well-documented, talking to him about running style and all these things that he gave you credit for a couple of years ago. But what about the intangible aspect of things? Have you seen him grow and change in that way?
Yeah, on that run last season when he – took over the rushing champion, became the rushing champion of the NFL. He was just doing a lot more talking, inspiring guys. You can sense that everybody fed off of his energy. And as he went, the team went. And he became more vocal. Listen, Derek comes from, he has a championship pedigree, you know, coming from Alabama. So he knows what that looks like. He understands what a championship team looks like, how the feeling of it. And he's won a Heisman Trophy. So it's no surprise to him of being successful. He wants to be one of the very best to play in this game. He's not driven by money. And that's what it goes back to, that question of, you know, what drives people and why you're there. And you can see, I can see it on him. He just needed to be guided in the right direction in terms of tweaking his game a little bit. And now he's totally taken over, both as a player and certainly as a leader now.
Eddie, you absolutely know what it was like from a culture standpoint here back when you guys with yourself and Steve, Floyd Reese, Jeff Fisher were doing a whole lot of winning here in Nashville. You had a great culture with this group. Do you think that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, they've reestablished that winning culture and the things that are necessary to win at a high level? Have they gotten back to that point, in your opinion, yet here with the Titans?
Well, they went to the AFC Championship game last year, and I think their aspirations are a little higher than just getting to the AFC Championship game is getting to the Super Bowl and winning that. And that remains to be seen. There's still a lot of work to be done for to make that determination of consistency. And we just don't know yet. There hasn't, you know, that body of work still hasn't been complete. These chapters haven't been read yet. So that's a question that can be answered 4 or 5 years from now to say, hey, this window of time under this era, you know, where'd they stack up? You know, how were they? So I certainly think the components are there, the bones are there, potential is certainly there for them to go on an epic run. But the next 3 weeks will determine that for sure. You know, they play Chicago. They're going to play Indianapolis twice. And that's going to be the defining moments. We'll see who, you know, who they really are, given where they are right now with the defense and special teams. How are they going to right the ship and get in the right direction and finish these games off strong?
How do you feel about that right at this moment, Eddie? That, you know, we've talked about the bringing in Desmond King, Adoree Jackson should be back Sunday. Losing Lawan is a significant thing, but obviously that offense still has a lot of weapons and a lot to like about it. Like, where do you think things are, you know, headed for them from here?
Well, you look at the offense, they're not a one-trick pony. They're not just one style, you know, where they just run the football and you force the quarterback to beat you. Well, Tannehill's proven that he can beat you with his arm. They have a deep receiving core that he goes to. You know, you look at his completion rate, it's been great. He's been fantastic with protecting the football, not too many interceptions. Derek has continued to put up big yards, you know, and his games where he's off, he's still getting 100 yards plus. It now is just a matter of figuring out the defensive side of the football, and again, third downs have been their Achilles heel, is winning on third downs. Once they figure that out, once, you know, guys like Clowney and Jeffrey Simmons get in sync and they become dogs in the trenches and they become hunters in the trenches, and they're disruptive, and they reach their potential in the trenches, and they establish that, that's when we're capable of seeing it. So it doesn't matter. It won't matter who the opponent is. The opponent is the Titans themselves. So if they can handle that situation in a squad, they can handle business against the Bears. They can handle business against Indianapolis, who I think is going to be their toughest opponent coming up, because Indianapolis has always given the Titans an issue, and their defensive front is a problem. So we're going to see in the next few weeks just what Tennessee's made of.
No doubt. I did want to ask you on Derek, Eddie, with the comments from Ryan Clark before the Steelers game. I know he's kind of walked back a little bit on that, but what did you make of those comments on Derek, I guess, not being courageous enough, at the first level, if I'm paraphrasing there?
Yeah, Ryan's cut from the old school cloth. And I think Ryan's a good friend of mine. He was coming from his Steelers lens, and I think he made a comment about, well, in my day, I would have did X, Y, and Z, and I'm saying, don't fall back off of that. Stand behind your shield, don't fall back. Yeah, I was surprised. I was really disappointed to hear that he stepped back from that and apologized. let's see that. Let's come out of retirement, put those pads on, and step in front of Derek with 1 yard to go and see who wins that battle. But you get that. You get commentators. You get guys from different leagues, from around the league, that's going to look at that. And I can see in some instances what he's talking about in terms of punishing defenders at the first level. But Derek is not that type of back. He is a game breaker. And if he gets beyond that first level, it's a problem. But in terms of getting a violent yard, I can see where Clark's accurate in that assessment. But when it counts, though, at the goal line and so forth, first and second down, Derek is going to get what he has to get.
Titans legend, former running back Eddie George on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Eddie, an exciting partnership between you and FanDuel Sportsbook, that launching officially last weekend here in Tennessee. They've even named an odd boost after you, calling it the Eddie George Special, which is if Derrick Henry getting 100 yards or more, the odds right now at +130 from FanDuel Sportsbook. What do you make of this partnership between you and FanDuel, and just how cool has it been so far to see sports betting legal here in Tennessee?
Well, it's been super exciting for me. They had me do these little promos going around Twitter and Instagram, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, you cannot dance!" Oh, my God. There's one of me dancing around, and another one of me spinning and running to the house to make my bed. So I had fun shooting that with my family, but I think that's been the whole deal. So the promotion has been really great. The boost has been great. I personally got online last week and made some bets and won. I'm not a big bettor, but I'm really enjoying it. But the thing I love most about this is that this partnership is that the taxes from the Tennessee sports betting will go towards education, infrastructure, and mental health. So it's going towards something good. It's not going to somebody's pockets and having them go buy a Lamborghini or a car. It's going back towards areas where it's really needed in our state. So that's what I love about this partnership.
And, Eddie, maybe one of the funniest things over the weekend about that, the first ever FanDuel bet in Tennessee was a 10-cent wage on the Colts -2.5 against the Lions, and it paid out 18 cents.
18 cents.
That's how you started off, Eddie. It doesn't get much better than that.
Hey, you got to start somewhere, man. It's basics every day, right?
That's right. Former Titans running back and Titans legend Eddie George has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex. Eddie, we appreciate you taking time to join us, my friend. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Great stuff there from Eddie George, and a really cool partnership he's got going on with FanDuel Sportsbook. I was checking it out over the weekend. I won as well, so I may be getting
18 cents.
Now I've won a little bit more than 18 cents, but I may be getting a little bit too excited about myself. It was a really good day for Robbie Stanley over the weekend.
Keep level-headed. Keep
even keel. That's right. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Eddie George had to say there, especially with his comments about Derrick Henry. How many yards have the Titans cost him the last couple of weeks with the way these games have unfolded? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Titans running back, Titans legend, Eddie George, for joining us in the last segment. Really appreciated that. And some interesting comments there about Derrick Henry as well. Maybe a little disappointed in Ryan Clark not backing off of those comments that he made about Henry having kind of the lack of courage at the line of scrimmage.
He wanted him to stick with the comments and suit up.
Put up those pads, man.
Yeah, I think it's the lack of courage part of – like Eddie George just said, like there's some truth in the sentiment. It's just the way – when you say lack of courage, obviously – You are ripping a guy. I mean, you're taking it too far.
Yeah, like I think the term he used was fake bravery going up
there
against
you go.
The secondary.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. Fake bravery. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that, like Eddie said, the idea that Derek sometimes picks his way and looks to make the big play is true. And so he doesn't always slam into the line like a power back who's just a power back. But I think basically what he is right now, what the balance he's figured out, because I think earlier in his career he did it too much. I think the balance he's figured out between, okay, I can try to find something here, cut back here, read things right, and sometimes, okay, I'm just going to slam into this guy and get 3 yards. I think it's a really nice balance. He'll still do that. And like Eddie said, the bottom line is short yardage, goal line, he's a power back. So yeah. When he needs to go into power back mode, he is a power back.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see kind of how differently he runs now compared to when he first came into the league. I mean, and he's credited Eddie George with a lot of that. We've seen how many times early in Derrick Henry's career did we talk about him bouncing it outside too early or not initiating contact enough or just not running with the same power and explosiveness that we see out of him now. And Eddie George is really the guy that Derrick Henry credits to changing that about his running style and helping to turn him into the player that he is now. Now, look, I mean, Derrick Henry obviously has always had talent, has always been an explosive back, but Derrick Henry gives Eddie George a lot of credit into bringing kind of the best out of him and the best version of what we've seen over the last year and a half, 2 years.
Right, and the big advice from Eddie to Derrick was, I watch you, your legs go dead when you are wrapped up.
Right.
And who knows, is that a – you know, you're in the NFL and you don't want to get hurt or whatever, you know, but when that changed, and Derek has talked about this multiple times, all of a sudden some of those 2 yarders became 6 yarders and so on and so forth. Like when he's like got the great and really unique, and I don't think there's ever been exactly this player in the NFL combination of, yes, he can go 80 yards and he will at times go outside and still outrun someone. But when he knows it's become a contact run, then he can flip into, you know, a 250-pound guy that just runs over somebody.
Yeah, and now he has turned into arguably the best running back in the NFL. Still leads the league in rushing right now, even though the Titans haven't had to do that as much the last couple of weeks because they've been trailing in games and been forced to throw the ball a little bit more. And this last game in particular, Joe, against Cincinnati, is very interesting because the Titans were trailing the entire time. When they had the ball offensively and were moving it with Derrick Henry, he was having a lot of success. And it wasn't just Derrick Henry. Pretty much everybody that ran the ball for the Titans last week had a good amount of success against Cincinnati. But when you're down 24-7 in a game, you can't really stick with that for very long. But Derrick Henry, 18 carries, 112 yards, 6.2 a carry, and one touchdown in the game against Cincinnati. I wonder if the defense gets off the field like twice, like two more times, how many more yards does Derrick Henry have in that game?
I mean, if there's, and this is not on the defense, but that Ben Jones holding call,
yeah,
where he got a first down, and then, I mean, it's a drive that's looking good, and they are overpowering them and giving him the ball and mixing a little Dante Foreman too, just for good measure. And I think that alone, then you tighten the score and you can play how you want to play if you score on that drive. But, yeah, then the defense just lets them – score, and then you're out of, he's out of the game. The week before, he's at 20-75 after a great first half by the Steelers against him, but they went right at him and he was starting to wear those guys out. He had 8 carries for 43 yards on a touchdown drive, and all of a sudden it's a tight game and there's 10 and a half minutes left in the game, And it's like, well, if they can get a stop, they're going to keep giving it to him. And certainly he's going to end up 100-plus in that game. And who knows, the outcome may be different too. Instead, the Steelers go on an 8-minute-plus drive that, even though it doesn't result in points, it leaves the Titans to, one, never have the ball the rest of the fourth quarter other than a hurry-up drive at the end. So in both of those cases, the defense getting off the field here or there on third down gives him a lot more chances. And he still leads the league. 775 yards, and he leads a lot of guys with 8 games.
Yeah.
But this is becoming – this might become like 2 people way ahead of everybody else for the rushing title. Because Dalvin Cook has only played 6 games, and he's got 652 yards, 5.3 per. Those guys might just go way – blow the field away and be in a really interesting race for the rushing title.
Yeah, and you're going up against, you know, we talk about the Chicago Bears, you know, defensively and how good they are. Their rushing defense this year really hasn't been all that great. They're giving up 120 yards a game on the ground. So, I mean, the games are a little bit different because teams, when you're playing the Bears, typically you don't have to really throw the ball all around the yard because it's not like Chicago's offense is just pulling away from people. But you're going to have your opportunities, you would think, this week if you're the Titans, to really stick with the game plan with Derrick Henry and run the ball. And that's a good way to keep Khalil Mack from just wreaking havoc on the game, is to run the ball effectively and maybe set up some play action passes that way, which is basically, when you boil down the Titans' identity offensively, Arthur Smith loves that formula.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the answer too for why teams have pretty decent numbers. Like, you have to try to play that way against the Bears. They aren't as stout in that way as they've been, and you have to try to establish a run against them. And like you said, it's, I mean, they just, that, you know, their offense makes it so teams can play that way. You know, it's kind of like the Titans' offense is betraying Derrick Henry lately. The Bears' offense is making it easier for opponents to run on the Bears, if that makes sense. So they're in a lot of those low scoring close games. And you got to try to keep Khalil Mack honest and do anything you can to neutralize him. Running right at him is one way. Certainly better than letting him take aim at your quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at defensively, I think the Bears are 16th right now in rush defense. So you hear about how good they are defensively, and this is in terms of yards per game. 16th in rush defense. I think they're around 13th in pass defense in yards per game. So they've been out on the field a lot. The Bears offense is not putting together many sustained drives. So if you're the Titans, the time of possession formula, which hasn't really gone their way as much as you would figure heading into this season, and that's largely because they can't get off the field on third down, that could start to turn in your favor this week against the Bears offense that has struggled to sustain drives. Maybe if you're the Titans defense, you get it down to like 6 of 15 on third down this week, and that would make a dramatic difference in the time of possession that the Titans have struggled in as of late.
Yeah, I'd love to know how many teams who play the way the Titans play, not that they can't go down and score fast, but still, they are a team that usually wins time of possession. They won it a lot last year, and it's just, that's what it is. I mean, they are not wanting to let the ball get over their head, but they're also never getting third down stops, so teams have, you know, 7-minute drives constantly. I mean, you can go back the last few games. Again, even in that pointless drive for the Steelers, that won them the game because they had the ball for 8 minutes, and they left them down at the other end of the field with not much time left. So it's just, they are purely a time of possession loser because of their defense.
Yeah, and now you look at Derrick Henry, like you said, still leads the league in rushing, 775 yards rushing on the season. He leads Dalvin Cook by more than 100 yards, and the Titans have had their bye week already, and Dalvin Cook's only played in 6 games. So, number one, I think that tells you about how good those two guys specifically are. But number two, I think it tells you that, like, that featured running back, excuse me, in today's NFL.
Getting choked up?
Getting
there.
Choked up. It's an emotional conversation here with Derrick Henry. But the featured running back in today's NFL, kind of dying out. I mean, Derrick Henry's featured guy, obviously. Dalvin Cook, a featured guy. But a lot of teams splitting their carries right now with running backs, and it's hard to kind of build up your numbers that way once that's happening.
Yeah, and even the featured backs such as Zeke, Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only getting 3.9 a carry, but he gets the ball so much in the passing game. Alvin Kamara, I know Latavius Murray is a good change of pace, but he's the featured back. I mean, Kamara is their guy. I mean, he's 16th in the league. He's 16th in the league with 431 yards. Now, he has five a carry. He only has 87 carries, but that's what he is. He is so much a part of their passing game. I think probably even more with Michael Thomas out. They've got to go to him. And he's having a great year with 87 carries.
Right. You know?
But you're right. There are very few teams out there that have that one guy that they want to give the ball to. Nick Chubb would be one of those guys. But the funny thing for them is they have Kareem Hunt, and he's fifth in the league in rushing coming in for Nick Chubb. That's
right.
A nice backfield. Todd Gurley is a featured guy. Actually, he's having a pretty good year for the Falcons, kind of a bounce-back year. But, yeah, less and less do you see that. And it's one of the things that makes the Titans unique. But, hey, maybe Deontay Foreman is going to start getting 10 carries a game. Certainly it does look like they – I mean, think about what we were talking about, that record pace and everything early. He's way off that now. He's not getting 400 carries, and I think that's intentional.
When we come back, how much could getting Adoree Jackson back on defense help with the pass rush and the overall operation of the defense? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. This Saturday, catch the college football game of the week on ESPN 94.9, presented by Gary Force Acura. This Saturday's game is one of the most storied rivalries in college football as Florida takes on Georgia. Kickoff is at 2:30 p.m. on ESPN 94.9. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're going to hear from Titans outside linebackers coach Shane Bowen, scheduled to address the media in roughly 10 minutes or so. So looking forward to that. And Joe, now that I have recovered from choking all over myself live on the air, let's have a discussion about Adoree Jackson and what sort of an impact he could have for this Titans defense, potentially coming back this week. You shot an incredible video yesterday at Titans practice. Adoree Jackson running around. He looks good out there. You expect him to be back this week. How big of a difference does that make for the overall operation of this defense, in your opinion?
Pretty big, and yeah, I think that video should get an Emmy. Probably, we'll see.
Will.
Maybe at least a nomination. But he has looked good the last 3 weeks to me. So naked eye, standing out there outside the practice field, I'm like, oh, he's playing this week. Oh, and now he's playing this week. Well, he's playing this week. But here's the thing: if he doesn't play this week, he has to go back on IR. So the designation to return, and the IR rules have changed this year too, by the way, and the COVID life, but the rules are you have 3 weeks to designate someone for return. So I'm quite certain he'll be activated. I guess there's always the possibility of they're still not confident yet or comfortable with him going out there and he doesn't play. But again, he looks to me like the same Adoree Jackson running around out there and looks healthy. So that will make a big difference. I mean, you think about the swap out of Joseph with Adoree Jackson in there. Adoree Jackson is not one of the all-time great cornerbacks in the NFL, as sometimes guys seem like when they're gone for a while and fans want to see him out there, but he is a much better corner than Jonathan Joseph is in his current form, and he's a really good corner, and I think they can do some different things. And with Butler and Jackson, whenever they play together, that'll be the first time since that game at Carolina last year where Butler broke his wrist, I believe.
Yep. Sounds right.
On the fade route in the end zone.
Could they activate Adoree but not play him? Could he be inactive Sunday?
Oh, he could be a scratch. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I mean, anybody can be on the active roster and be a scratch.
Well, I didn't know if with the return designation from IR, if they had to play.
No. Yeah, it just means that you're on the active 53. Yeah. So that would be the if they're not ready. He'll be activated. I'll say that right now, and you can put a lock guarantee on it.
Oh,
he'll
boy.
Be, yeah. You can put I'll make that my called shot early. How about that?
It's not allowed.
Okay. Well, my called shot about Roberson last week. There you go. I was a week early on Roberson. But I will tell you.
That's also not allowed.
Adoree Jackson will be, he'll be on the active roster. Will he play? Boy, they better hope so. I mean, even though Jonathan Joseph has been bad, I mean, come on.
What do you do without him?
Right.
Like if Adoree can't play this week.
I mean, it's Ty Smith.
Yeah. How do you think that's going to go?
Probably not well. I mean, he missed the Cincy game with his shoulder. He was back on the practice field yesterday. He's a good, like, fifth guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's been fine as a reserve who can come in a pinch, but no, I mean, that's not – they tried that. They put him in for Joseph against Pittsburgh. They quickly put Joseph back in. And then they went back and forth because that's how it's been, you know?
It was a battle of ineptitude between Joseph and Ty Smith in that game. As far as Desmond King is concerned, Titans make the trade for him on Monday, maybe gets in the building on Saturday. Do you think there is a good chance that he plays on Sunday, just given where the Titans are right now in the secondary? I know that he hasn't had practice this week. I know that basically if he's able to get in Saturday, it'll be a walkthrough and, hey, buddy, here's the game. Good luck. But do you think that Vrabel and the Titans decide to play him anyway, just given the shape they're in right now in the secondary?
I would – I guess if I had a – right now, if I had to call a shot on this too, calling so many shots today on a Thursday. I'm so excited for call your shot Friday.
Who is it?
Yeah, I would guess that it's tough because I won't be surprised at all if he's just not active. I mean, that makes sense. Go through all this stuff, get him ready, and then get him on the practice field so you feel good about how he fits in and everything. But I could see him activating him and having him there in a pinch. And I think Chris Jackson's going to start in the slot. You know, Chris Jackson he's looked like a rookie at times. He's done some good things, some bad things. He was a super impressive part of preseason camp for this team. I still think they have, at this point, a certain amount of confidence, and I think he'll be better, too, with Adoree Jackson out there. And but I could see maybe King still being active, and if they need him, he can go out there. He can play the position. He's a pro. He's a veteran.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier in the show, like we hear all the time offensively about, all right, what's the challenge like of coming into a new system, learning the new terminology, getting the playbook underneath you. Defensively, we don't talk about that a whole lot because I'm sure the terminology everywhere you go is at least slightly different. But at the end of the day, like defensively, you're playing zone, you're playing man. Can you cover that guy? Maybe you don't dial up as many exotic blitzes as you might want to with Desmond King in his first week, but I feel like the Zoom calls they'll have this week and getting ready from this game mentally from Desmond King, I would guess he'll be at least ready to go out there and competently understand what's going on. Now, probably not as detailed as you want him to be, but you'll at least be out there, and he won't be in no man's land, would be my guess.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, the guy's been in the league. He's been a pro bowler, and again, he played it. He played at a place where I would say, you know, a NFL kind of defense at Iowa, you know, good coaching there. So I would think that he'd be able to pick it up. In the slot last year, Logan Ryan was a guy who sometimes, you know, made calls, communicated things. They relied on him in that way. You know, they've missed that this year, I think, pre-snap from Logan Ryan. But you're not asking Desmond King to do all that. Just go out there and just cover someone.
Yeah.
Someone needs to cover someone.
When we come back, Titans outside linebackers coach Shane Bowen scheduled to address the media. We'll have that for you next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth with you here on this Thursday. Titans outside linebackers coach Shane Bowen scheduled to meet with the media momentarily. So going to be interesting to see what he's got to say on that front heading into this game against Chicago. A struggling Chicago Bears offense, a struggling Tennessee Titans defense, specifically on third down. So something's got to change this week with one of these two teams. We'll see which team comes out on top on that front.
I'm in the Zoom call, so I can tell you when he appears. I'm also here to rip any Nashville media members in the chat room who need ripping. It's one of my favorite pastimes.
Your multitasking ability is incredible.
My favorite pandemic pastimes, ripping other media members in the chat
room. I really wish like Shane Bowen would hop in on the chat like Mike Vrabel does.
Yeah, so far
Vrabel. Really got to have some more participation.
So far, Vrabel is the only person of the Titans organization to jump in on the chats and call me a clown.
You think it's because of your love for Jadeveon Clowney?
I don't remember what it was. He gets into some good. There's some good stuff from him in there. Some good stuff.
Do we think we get any?
Here
light?
We go.
Here we go. Coming up right now, Titans outside linebackers coach Shane Bowen. Our live press conferences on ESPN 102.5 The Game are brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashua. Here's Titans outside linebackers coach Shane Bowen.
Hold on. All right. Sorry about that.
You're good. Morning. Jim,
good morning. How y'all doing?
Great.
Hey, good morning, Shane.
Hey, what's up, Jim?
I'm doing good. I guess Desmond King right out of the gate. Just what do you like about his addition? What's the process been like with him so far? And is there a scenario to get him ready and he's in the lineup on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, he's going through the protocol stuff right now with COVID. We'll just see when all that stuff clears. We got the virtual stuff going on, obviously, and ultimately it's just really what he can pick up on and really where he's at come Saturday, whenever he gets in here, how we feel comfortable with him being able to go out there and do something. But, we'll see where it's at. But excited to add him, man. I think he's going to be a good addition for us with what we're trying to get done and really just – hoping to get him through this protocol, and we'll see where he's at.
And one more from me on Vic Beasley. I know probably everyone's disappointed that one didn't work out. Did you talk to Vic on the way out? And if you did, what'd you say? And how disappointed are you that one didn't work?
Yeah, man. I mean, it unfortunately, these things happen. Like, it is what it is. I wish him all the best. I hope. Who knows where he's going to end up, what's going to happen. But yeah, man, I mean, fortunately, it's one of those situations that didn't really work out here. And that's really all I got to say about it. Really focus on the guys that are here with us now.
Trump?
Yeah, just to get back then. First of all, good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning.
To get back to Desmond King, one of the things just in watching him, it stood out the way the Chargers used him, just blitzing them and things like that from that nickel. Is that something you guys would like to eventually incorporate, especially for your third down defense?
Yeah, I think, he's got a different skill set than some of the guys that we got here. I think once we get him here and get our hands on him too and get a little bit better feel. But just like you guys seen, we've seen that stuff too in him. So really it's just kind of a different skill set that we're adding to that position. We'll kind of go from there just in terms of what we feel like we want to do with him and what he can go out there and execute for us.
And how is Roberson coming along? Because he's a guy that you talked a lot about, you know, leading up to the season, but he hasn't been able to get onto the field. How's he coming along as far as his progression?
I think he's progressing. I mean, it's a daily come to work consistency. I mean, he's been in and out with some things that pop up here and there. That's kind of, I guess, maybe kept him out at times from doing things. But just the day-to-day, being able to be here consistently, hopefully he can stay healthy and keep working. I think as he gets going and gets playing more, I think you're going to see hopefully a little bit more growth and really just even in practice. I think just the familiarity of actually being out there and going through it in game situations is going to be big for him.
David Buckler.
Shane, on Desmond King again, what, in general terms, what makes a good blitzer from the slot? I mean, what do you have to be able to do to get home from there?
Yeah, I mean, I think instinctive dudes, like, it's not always a clear path. Like, as much as we want to say we can scheme up all these guys being unblocked, like, very rarely do you see guys unblocked, right? It's a guy making a play, being instinctive, knowing how to get around certain guys. So I think the instincts come into play at the point of attack. I think the timing aspect of it, understanding snap counts, understanding different things like that, how to disguise, which all that stuff somewhat falls into being instinctive. I think the physicality nature of it, when you get in there, being able to kind of do some of those things and, in essence, get around some of these guards or be able to fit up and actually hold up too, right? Like, you're sending a smaller dude in for the most part in there against a bigger guy. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. I think instincts instincts and just kind of having that innate ability to do it and having done it, like, that stuff is going to help them.
John?
Yeah, Shane, another guy on the edge, I know on the practice squad, the two-star skipper got protected this week. What do you guys like about him, and, you know, what have you seen in his development this season?
Yeah, since he's came in, man, he's been locked in. He's been trying to learn. He does stuff on his own. He meets extra. He's taken an initiative to get better and learn our defense. I think he's a big, powerful kid. Technique-wise, I think he's coming along. I think he just adds a little bit more kind of punch out there, being a bigger, stronger dude that has some explosion to him.
Sure. And then, yeah, in terms of the edge guys in general, I know, you know, I guess maybe outside of Harold last season, that, you know, hadn't been a ton of sacks from the edge guys. I mean, does that matter? I mean, people naturally look to those guys, you know, when it comes to sacks, but does it matter where the sack come from for you, or just that they need to come?
Yeah, we're trying to affect the quarterback. We're trying to get sacks. Ultimately, you see it across the league. A lot of these edge guys do. That's where they come from. The majority of them come from. I really don't care. Like, I mean, I want them all to have a bunch of sacks, John. I really do. But I really don't care if it ends up being an edge guy, if it ends up being a nickel, if it ends up being a nose. Hopefully we can just get a few more of them.
Thanks.
Terry?
Shane, when obviously the moves are made above you, but when the team is contemplating on adding a guy like King, or they're contemplating on moving on from guys like Joseph and Beasley, how much in advance do they come to you and say, how would you use this guy if we brought him in, or what would you do if we moved on from this? What would be the plan? Do they consult, and is it kind of an organizational decision so that they get information from you in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, Mike, obviously John and Mike, they collaborate on everything, and Mike's the sounding boy. He comes to us and kind of ask our viewpoints on certain things, and then him and John collaborate and go from there. So it's a team effort. I think that's a big thing in any organization, any team, is making sure you see eye to eye. And the key to doing that is communicating. So, I mean, it is a collaborative effort. Obviously, John and Mike are the guys that pull the trigger. But, I mean, we get to ask our opinion on things. So we're not left in the dark. It's not like we're finding out on Twitter or after you guys. So we have some knowledge of what's going on.
And then – on Jadeveon Clowney for a minute, are you seeing the growth track from him that you wanted to see from when he got here at the start of the season? How much improvement have you seen out of him thus far?
Yeah, I think last week was probably one of his better performances overall. I know he missed a few sacks that he would love to have, and I made sure to tell him about them. But I think he's becoming more disruptive. I think he's becoming a little bit more comfortable with what we're asking him to do. The thing with him is obviously just continuing to practice and making sure he's good to go come Sunday and continuing to get in shape. Obviously, we had the COVID deal with the 2 weeks there. That was a little bit challenging to continue that progress. But I think he's trending in the right direction right now.
I'm running short on time. I'm going to try to squeeze in these last two. Corey?
Hey, Shane.
We dropped you there. Eric?
Hey, Shane. You know, lost a lot of leadership year over year with Drell Casey leaving, Logan Ryan leaving. Is Jeffrey Simmons one of the guys that you've seen step up from a leadership standpoint? And how important is that? Is leadership, especially at a time like this, you know, having guys that keep you together when the unit is struggling?
Yeah, I definitely think he's stepped up. He's kind of getting more comfortable in that role. I don't think the one thing with Jeff, I don't think he's afraid to speak his mind and hold guys accountable, which is huge. And in order to be able to do that, you got to do it yourself, right? Like, guys ain't going to respect a guy who's not walking the walk and then wants to talk the talk. So I think he's earned that with how he's kind of came in here and worked and what he shows on film and practice as well. I'm sure that will continue to develop as he gets even more comfortable with what his role is in terms of leadership. But yeah, he's been a great addition, and it's important, man. Like, you got to have leaders, you got to have guys that people look to when things are going good, when things are going bad, to kind of show them how to handle it. And ultimately for accountability, right? Like, we're all in this together. Guys that can hold each other accountable, being player led more so than coach led, right? I think that's ultimately when you get the most out of these players, is when they're doing it for each other, doing it for their teammate, not wanting to let the teammates down.
That was Titans outside linebackers coach Shane Bowen here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our live press conferences on 102.5 The Game are brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Joe, what did you make of Shane Bowen's comments there, particularly with Jadeveon Clowney saying that the last game against Cincinnati was one of his better performances overall?
Yeah, I know some people listen to that and be like, what are you talking about? But, I mean, Clowney was in position to make plays. Like, if we're going to compare Clowney and Beasley, for example, one we notice on the field, one we never do. So I guess I'm not shocked by that, because there have been some weeks where we didn't notice a lot of Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, last week he had himself in position there to do some things. But, look, this is stuff that Titans fans hear and want to believe is true. I mean, he's trending in the right direction. He's getting more comfortable. All these things are possible. I mean, wait and see is the totally fair way to look at it. Show it to me. Prove it to me. It's like Vanderbilt, you know, athletics investment. All right, I hear you guys talking about wanting to do it, or things are looking up, or you have plans, but let's see a shovel right on the ground. Let's see Jadeveon Clowney make those big plays. But, again, they're going to be very, very reliant on him, and he's going to have to get better.
I thought an interesting comment made there by Shane Bowen was regarding Desmond King, and essentially saying that he brings a different skill set than what they've got there right now at nickel in terms of being able to blitz. And that goes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago. How much of maybe some of the play calling that we're seeing defensively from the Titans is because they just don't feel comfortable doing certain things with the personnel that they have? Like, you talk about Desmond King coming in, maybe they blitz a little bit more than they have. How much do you buy into that based on to what Shane Bowen had to say there about Desmond King and maybe adding a different element that they don't have right now?
Yeah, well, they've tried with everybody they've had in the slot.
Hadn't gone well.
Yeah, like Chris Jackson had an effective blitz. That was the play that I thought summed up the game Sunday, was Chris Jackson came on a blitz and at one point had Burrow, then didn't have him. Landry had him three times in that play, didn't have him. But the blitz, you know, you could say worked other than the tackle. They've sent Christian Fulton before from the slot this year. I can think of actually a similar play against Josh Allen that he was there. I thought he blitzed well, didn't finish the play. So that is definitely, I mean, Logan Ryan had 4.5 sacks from that spot last year, and he was masterful at, I remember a couple of times where he, like, there was no indication at all, and then he was absolutely on the, you know, the quarterback was down second and a half right later, you know, and he was great at it. So if Desmond King is good at it and knows what he's doing, then that'll help him. They'll certainly try it. I have no doubt about that. I mean, if the four man pass rush doesn't have some breakthroughs here, they'll be trying all the blitzes.
And it was funny, like, to hear Shane Bowen's reaction. I think John Glennon from Broadway Sports asked him about, you know, getting sacks and does it matter where they're coming from. And, you know, it's not like this has been a new topic with Shane Bowen. They brought up the pass rush and trying to get home to the quarterback in pretty much every press conference all season long. And he's like, you know, we're working to get there now. Just the transformation from that to, yeah, I don't really care where they come from at this point. We just need to get more. It is interesting to see how that process has evolved.
Yeah, and one way or another. I mean, hey, if they have no more sacks the rest of the year, but they can, like, get their third down defense down to, like, 50-something because you cover people better,
that
works
trade
too. Yeah. But, no, you got to – I mean, like, the pace of 16 sacks is obviously beyond feeble, and – 41 sacks last year, middle of the pack for a defense that didn't have four-man pass rush, that didn't really have threats.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texts in and says, are there free agents available to replace Joe's Clowney? I love how Heidi has now dubbed this Joe's Clowney to
wow.
you.
Wow, my Clowney. This sounds like a Skipman burner text. Am I?
She says in the text, not a burner. Jared is asleep.
Well, she knew I was going to call her out for being a burner. All right. Hey, listen, if I have to take the responsibility, I'll say it again. I'll say it a million times. Imagine this defense right now if they hadn't paid Jadeveon Clowney.
Would it be not good?
I mean, like, there'd be zero chance of it being good, right? So, no, there aren't free agents. That's the problem, unless you want to go get Clay Matthews or Cam Wake.
And even then, they're not replacing Jadeveon Clowney.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, he's got to.
He's going to ride it out.
He's going to ride it out. He's going to play if he's healthy to play, and he's got to be better. And having him is better than not having him right now.
When we come back, General Manager John Robinson spoke to the media yesterday and had some interesting comments regarding the departure of Vic Beasley. We'll get to those on the other side of the break. But first, week 9 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, will start today. Make your picks of the 3 college or pro football underdogs that you think will win before the college football games begin on Saturday. This week, the weekly winner will receive a 10-roof gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.